Hey, attainable listeners. It's your host, Amy Powell here. For those of you who are new to the Attainable podcast and don't know me yet, I am a life coach specializing in happiness. I help individuals identify what keeps you stuck and learn what makes you happy so that you can plan and live a joyful life on your terms. I truly believe your version of happiness is 100% attainable, and it's my mission to help you discover and live yours. You can learn more about me and follow my story on Instagram at attainable_AF. Look forward to seeing you there. In this episode, I'm speaking with Bridget Zeitlin. Bridget is a MPH, RD, which means she has her Master's of Public Health, and she is a registered dietitian specializing in integrative nutrition. And as we'll learn, Bridget is also the founder of BZ Nutrition in New York City. Bridget's philosophy and approach to food and nutrition shifts the common narrative around quote-unquote dieting. She shares with us how focusing on nourishment and indulgences in your diet, all in moderation, of course, can allow you to enjoy the foods that you love while nourishing your body with the things that help you to be healthy. In our conversation, you'll learn that fat is your friend, and you'll get 3 great tips to take with you into 2021 to boost your health and overall wellness. Let's go. Hey, Bridget.
Hey, Amy.
Thanks so much for coming on the show to chat with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be with you.
I attended your workshop with Six Degrees Society a few months ago, and your philosophy and approach to diet and nutrition, I think everyone needs to hear. So I'm really excited to share what you do and how you approach nutrition and your own diet and how people can incorporate that to their own lives.
Absolutely. No, I'm so glad that it resonated with you and that we were able to connect further and get into more of the nitty gritty of eating for your long-term well-being, because that's what I'm all about.
Yes, I love that. Okay, so let's get started and kind of frame the conversation here. So 7-8 years ago, you were in a completely different industry. You were living your life and you made a shift. Tell us what was happening in your life that really got you curious around nutrition and learning more about nutrition to pivot.
So when I graduated college, I did not have great eating habits. Shocker, right? College student. But
nope.
I did have great eating habits growing up, and somewhere along those 4 years, they got all murkied up. But I moved into Manhattan and to start my job in fashion PR. I had gained weight. I wasn't thrilled about it. I started cooking for myself for the first time, really. And that sparked me getting more interested in food and nutrition and vegetables and like, what do you do with them? How do you make that? Like, you know, all the things. So I did like a deep dive. I started to like learn a lot about it. And then I realized quickly that food and nutrition were definitely a passion and not this like side hobby that I thought it was. But it wasn't until my grandmother passed away from complications from her type 2 diabetes that I was like, ah, this is my calling. This is my moment. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to become a registered dietitian. Because my grandmother, we were very similar, very close. We're both a little bit stubborn. We're both very much in love with our chocolate. And she didn't want to give up the foods that she loved. So she didn't, right? She didn't change her diet when she got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. She kept eating all the things she had always had. And it led to, you know, it made her condition worse and worse and ultimately was her downfall. And I thought, how did no one get through to her? Like that she could eat the foods that she loved. Yes, in a different way, you know, yes, she also had to eat these other foods too. She did have to incorporate a few more fruits and vegetables, but she could still have her chocolate, eat her veggies, and live a longer life. So I thought, well, that could be me. I could do that. Mm-hmm. I can break it down for someone where they realize they don't have to give up the foods they love to reach their health goal. They can reach their health goal, still eat the foods they love, and just learn how to eat it and incorporate it in a different way. So that's what drove me back to school. I stayed in New York City for my master's. I went to Hunter College and got my master's in public health nutrition. But to become a registered dietitian, you have to do a year-long internship in a hospital. At that point, I had been living in Manhattan for 7 years. I was single. All of my girlfriends were married and onto their first kid. And I was like, I'm going to get out of town. So I left. I went to Chicago and I did my internship at Loyola Medical Center in Chicago. Fantastic city, fantastic food scene, made really great friends. But my heart and soul is in New York City. So at the end of that year, I became a registered dietitian and I moved back to New York and I started my new career in nutrition.
Wow, what a journey. And I love that it's all right. And just all really the curiosities was a really around seeing someone that you loved struggle so much with food and with what they were eating and feeling like changing their diet so much was something they didn't want to do because it was so much of a change instead of just these small kind of incorporation that you've really worked so hard to apply to your life and teach people that it's okay.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, maybe it would not have changed anything. Like I said, she was stubborn like I am, but what if it could have, right? And it will for many other people. And so that was my calling. And I feel like she's kind of always been with me
since. Mm, I love that. Just powering your day.
Yeah.
You use the word indulgences, and I want to talk about that a bit because I feel like, especially in food, indulgences is this like taboo thing, right? That you shouldn't have a lot of, or it's like, oh, you know, it's so good, we shouldn't have it, or we don't have enough of it. When you think about indulgences and working with clients and even in your writing of, you know, talking about this idea of indulgence, you have a really, really positive, refreshing spin on it. And I'd love to just hear your relationship to indulgences.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I do love my chocolate. I also really love my chocolate chip cookies. So I'm a big believer that food is meant to be enjoyed. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Indulgences are part of life. So maybe that's a shopping splurge. Maybe that is birthday cake, like whatever that looks like for you, you know, it's part of enjoying life. So if you are trying to, let's say, lose weight and you are doing it by eliminating all the foods that you enjoy indulging on. And when I say indulgence, it really means that these are the things that don't make up our everyday meals, right? These are the treats. So whether that treat is, for me, obviously that would be sweet, but maybe for you, Amy, that's savory, right? And your treat would be like the big bowl of pasta or the pizza we were talking about. So
or cheese
or potato chips or French fries or whatever, sweet or savory, whatever your go-to treat is, fantastic. But it's a treat because you enjoy it. And it's a treat because you understand that it's not something you're going to eat at breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the same day, but that it should be a part of your life because you enjoy it and it feels good. It nourishes you, right? I think, I also believe that like all the foods we eat nourish us. There are some foods that nourish us with vitamins and minerals and protein and fiber. And then there are other foods that nourish us because they trigger happy, fun memories from our childhood, or we are sharing the bowl of fries with our friend while we're catching up. All the foods nourish us. They nourish us in different ways. And if you want to lose weight, and again, because I think of health as like the big picture, I want you, whatever weight you're going to lose, your real health is going to come in keeping that weight off for the long term. So if you want to keep the weight off, you have to lose the weight while you're eating some of your favorite treats along the way. Otherwise, if you lose the weight without these indulgences, when you eventually eat them, you're going to gain the weight back. You're going to, usually it comes with this like on the wagon, off the wagon, all or nothing, shame, guilt, spiral that like, goodbye, no thank you. So, you know, no food is bad. I don't believe food has any moral code. There's no bad food or good food. All food is good for you. It's just a matter of when you want to eat what.
I'd love to explore that a little bit more just in terms of, you know, the spiraling and kind of the common narrative that we hear from the nutrition world, right? Mm-hmm. Either it's magazines or influencers or dietitians, nutritionists. And from my interpretation or my understanding, a lot of that work that we're doing with a nutritionist or dietitian is saying no to things, is changing our diet, is really not being able to have those indulgences. And, you know, thinking about in a way that, you know, overall nourishment and overall health, there are comfort foods associated with that. There are, you know, foods that we love that may not be super, super healthy for us, but that is part of your narrative. And I think that the question I want to ask or the conversation I want to have is that common message of dieting is the restrictions. Mm. How did we get there? Like,
that's a great question. How did we get there? What's coming to my mind is the 1980s, early 1990s. And I wasn't dieting then. I was too young, but this is from how I think it kind of all started is there was an increase in overweight and obesity starting to bubble up a little bit because people were eating out of the home more. And to counterbalance that, the food industry started pushing out a lot of fat-free foods and fat-free items and this like fat-free jargon into the world. And I think that triggered this thought of, oh, fat's bad for us. We have to take that out. What else do we have to take out? So I think this whole removal of foods started there. What the industry wasn't telling us is that when they took out the fat, which by the way, is healthy for you, fat is your friend, they were replacing it with sugar and salt. And then obesity really ticked up drastically. And that's why we were in the problem we're in today, nationally. But I think that's a lot of where it came from. I also personally believe that like willpower is a myth and people like knowing what they can control. It helps them feel more empowered. And so thinking, well, if I can remove this, if I have the willpower to remove this and not eat that, then I will reach the goal that I want. What else can I remove? What other lines and restrictions and what other box can I like stay in? If I have very clear lines, then I can stick to this and I can be on this wagon and I can do these things. And it became like tunnel vision. They got blinders on. It's not really about what you should be taking out. It's really about what you should be putting in, right? Like back to my grandma, she had to take out some of her French toast, but what happened was it was more French toast than it was fruits and vegetables. So she needed more vegetables. We needed to put more things in than we needed to take out. And so I think that America likes rules and restrictions and guidelines. And I think maybe, you know, for everyone, it kind of makes us feel safe a little bit, but having like a container, a very specific container. But the truth is that specific container doesn't work for everybody. Everyone's unique and different and needs a plan that fits them and their life. And we should be, if we were focusing more on what we're putting in to our life, right? We focus on like the people we surround ourselves with, the foods we incorporate, the habits we bring in, what we want to attract. It depends on what we're putting in, what we're filling our cup up with versus what we're removing and cutting out.
That is beautiful. We're talking about the food industry, right? And nutrition and really how you have made such a stake in your industry is because you've flipped this idea on its head, and you've made it the concept of nutrition and someone's diet to be really relatable and to allow them things that they love and to allow them to live their life. And that statement you just said, not what we take out, what we fit in, that's flipping it on its head. I love it.
I love it too. Thank you. I'm a big believer in, you know, I think that when we're only focusing on the negatives, or like, again, the removals, then that's what you're focusing on. You're focusing on the lack versus the abundance. Let's focus on the abundance.
Yes. Oh, this is so good. I love this. I'm like, I have like all the feels.
Me too.
All the feels. So this ties in nicely.
Me too. You're in good company, Amy.
Yes. So this ties in nicely. I wanted to talk about this idea of comfort foods. And I'm writing something just this last year. I've really kind of, you know, talking about flipping on its head, I've really started to have a different look and take on what comfort food means to me. And the traditional comfort food that I always used to go to, whether, you know, it's heavy protein, greasy, covered with cheese, those types of comfort food, I really have or learned for myself that those don't necessarily nourish me. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's other types of food and really combining certain foods to make them rich and amazing and yes, healthy, but it doesn't necessarily, that's not the first thing in the box. It's just really that idea of it is really comforting. And that's something in the workshop that I took that you really talked about, foods that reduce stress, that actually reduce, you know, and a lot of the time when we're stressed out, we're going for the bag of potato chips, or we're going for something that's actually not comforting our bodies. And 2 hours later, we feel bad. We don't feel good. Right. We're not comforted.
Right. You've probably maybe also, whatever food, whatever mood or feelings you were trying to comfort and soothe by reaching for the potato chips and the cheese dip, you now, after eating all of that, you probably have also added in maybe a little bit of shame and a little bit of guilt on top of those other initial feelings that you might have, that you were initially trying to comfort in the first place. So I think when it comes to comfort foods, the first thing is we have to understand that it is it's a defense mechanism, reaching for food when you are stressed, when you are bored, when you are hurt. So we want to, first and foremost, we want to do a little bit of a gut check, right? Like, why am I reaching for this? Did I just have a fight with my boyfriend or girlfriend? Did my boss yell at me? Am I procrastinating a deadline? What are you trying to comfort? What is the emotion you are trying to soothe? And that could be like a long-term goal, really paying attention to that and getting in touch with that. And like, again, it's a little bit of mindfulness. It's a little bit of gut checking. But once you know what it is that you are trying to soothe, understanding that nothing aside from fixing that actual problem is going to do the job. So no food is going to, whether it is broccoli or potato chips, no food is going to make you feel better about whatever it is you're avoiding. So that's our first little thing about, you know, what a lot of what I do too is like rebuilding and recalibrating people's relationships with food. So we have to be a little mindful and just kind of tap in there and figure out what's going on. But once we do that and we know what's going on, and like, let's say we feel good, but this food brings us comfort because, again, it brings out like memories of sitting around the table. Like for me, maybe it's memories of like sitting around the table with my grandma and having breakfast with her. And so, yeah, I want some French toast because that was her favorite. That's what we did together. And that is, I'm not reaching for it because I'm stressed. I'm reaching for it because it brings back great memories and kind of puts me back in that seat with her. So that's what comfort food should kind of, we want to like switch the words a little bit. That's what comfort food should do a little bit, kind of comfort you with like the memories it's triggering and that. If you're reaching for comfort foods, because you are stressed or uncomfortable at the workplace or whatever's going on for you. Again, that fight, that procrastination. Foods that are those typical go-tos, like the French toast, the chips, the fries, the cookies, they are high in sugar. So they will give you a tiny spike of energy, a tiny spike of serotonin, which is like a feel-good hormone, but then you ultimately crash very quickly right after. So now you're on like this emotional tidal wave of things, which again, make all your feelings that much worse. An actual comfort food would be foods that actually lower your anxiety and actually lower cortisol, which is the stress hormone going on in your body. Foods that do that are foods that are high in vitamins and minerals. So vegetables, fruit, whole grains, not the usual typical comfort foods that we reach for, which would be the chips, the fries, the bagel, the cookies, the French toast, the ice cream. Those foods that are higher in sugar, they will screw with your hormones in a different way and leave you feeling worse at the end. The foods that are healthier, truer, actual comfort foods would be foods that are high in magnesium. So bananas, avocado, dark chocolate, nuts, nut butter, and also foods that are high in B vitamins. So whole grains like brown rice, oatmeal, quinoa. Again, bananas are a great source of B vitamins too, and berries. So like strawberries, blueberries. So if you were to, which we don't typically think about when we think of comfort foods, but those are the foods that will actually lower your anxiety and reduce your stress and leave you feeling more comfortable and more at ease at the end of it. Traditional comfort foods, those should be eaten when you are in the mood for a treat or an indulgence, not to soothe your feelings, because they're not going to soothe your feelings. They're only going to exacerbate them and make them worse.
This is so important to hear. And I just personally, you know, again, this last year, I have been walking to the grocery store. When I'm at the grocery store, I'm normally in a good mood. I had just walked there, right? And feeling good, going through my things, you know, get home. And I realized that what I didn't put in my cart is the potato chips or is the chocolate or the ice cream, or the three things of ice cream, right? Because I'm in, you know, I'm in like more of a right mind in a way, or, you know, healthy, optimistic mind. So it's interesting because, you know, just during this last year, not really going out and being able to order things at a restaurant, I really haven't been eating much sugar by default, but I realized that my moods don't shift as much as they used to at all. Yes. And everything you're saying is, I really do believe that that's because I haven't been eating as much sugar or salty snacks.
Yeah. So what happens when we eat sugar, and there are different types of sugars, but in general, when we eat sugar, it raises our blood sugar levels. And then depending on the type of sugar we just took it in from, like a fruit or a whole grain versus the cupcake or the donut or the fries, that will then, depending on the type, the source of sugar, so it all raises our blood sugar, but then depending on the source, how quickly our blood sugar then drops on that like roller coaster dip after the refined sugar. So the cookies, the cakes, that stuff, that forces a much faster, much steeper dip on that roller coaster. And that screws with your emotions and your hormones for the rest of the day. The more sustainable, slower dip down from the fruit or the whole grains, that keeps you more even keeled. It allows you to focus better throughout the day, less mood swings, just like a more sustainable, calming energy for sure.
That's awesome. And it's cleaner to eat. Like you, right? You just feel like, I feel like I have legitimately more energy and that my body is working more instead of feeling super lethargic.
Yeah. And tired. You do have more energy. Yes. Because those foods also, in addition to their sugar content, they also have various vitamins and minerals that work to keep your metabolism running at a specific pace. And that your metabolism is your engine. That is where your energy is coming from. So absolutely. And again, those vitamins, those minerals, they make your hormones and your brain and your nerve function like all act in a different way. So you are sharper, you're more alert, you're more focused, your energy is higher, you're more productive. All of it. That's awesome that you're tapped into that. Not a lot of people are able to like connect those dots.
It's taken me 35 years, but I got here.
That's all that counts.
And hearing from people like you who have made it more acceptable and more fun and showing me the dots to then connect on myself, on my own.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
So you just gave us so many amazing tips, and it is the start of the year, right? There's, you know, people are fresh slate. Let's do this. It's winter, right?
It's hard
to exercise outside, all the things.
All of them.
What are some things that we should be thinking about right now when it comes to our nutrition or just even being compassionate to ourselves in our diet?
Yeah. So that's great. I love that you just said compassion, because I think the number one thing we need more of is self-compassion. Allowing yourself to indulge and not think twice about it. Allowing yourself to, you know, if you didn't make a deadline, you didn't make a deadline, you'll make up for it. Like being kinder to ourselves, really watching our self-talk is crucial. That goes from everything from what we put in our body to how we act in the world. I think we just want to be more self-compassionate, I think is huge. In terms of specifically like nutrition and wellness, what I would love to see more of, I would love to see more water in your day, more hydration in your day. That will help curb other cravings you might be having. It will help you stay more focused. It will also, given the winter dries out our skin a lot, making sure you're staying well hydrated will also really help your skin look and feel healthier. But so more water. That's number one. The other thing that I would really like to see more of in your life would be more vegetables. So, and I know that's like easy to say, but like, what does that really mean? What I mean when I say more vegetables is I want people to aim for at least like 3 colors a day. So you've heard the phrase eat the rainbow, right? Or maybe you haven't, but you're hearing it now for the first time. So that refers to eating the various colors of like all the produce that you see around. And that's great. If you want to eat all the colors, fantastic, but making a little promise to yourself to try to eat 3 a day. I think that would be a great way to focus on getting in more veggies and putting in more of that good stuff. So yeah, so 3 colors. So far today, my colors have been yellow, red, and blue from my blueberries, an apple, and I had yellow squash. So any colors work, fruit or veggies. So more water, 3 colors a day of your produce. And I also think, I know it's totally cold, but fresh air is paramount. I think it's paramount for our mental health. It's paramount and then is paramount for our physical health. So making sure you get, you know, take a walk, even 15 minutes outdoors. You can break it up. You can do 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes during your lunch break, 5 minutes when you call it a day after work. But just getting outside, doing whatever movement you can, walking around the block or walking your dog, something, fresh air is key, especially after being cooped up for so long and we're all in different places, COVID pending. So making sure you get outside is really, really crucial. And those would be the three top things that I would want people to do more of in 2021.
That's awesome. That's so, and also easy to do.
Right. So easy. And if you break it down into things like that, that's what it's all about. Like small tweaks to your day that will really have huge impacts on your long-term health.
So tell us, what is next upcoming for you? What are you working on this year? Anything you'd like us to know about or look out for?
Yeah, totally. So I am always talking about like new foods that I'm eating, recipes that I'm making, and other things that I'm pro tipping on Instagram. So feel free to follow me there at BZ Nutrition. you can shoot me a DM too if you have any questions. I always love answering questions of my followers. So you can find me there. Also, I will be starting January 15th. I will be open for accepting new one-on-one clients. So if you are interested in working with me, you can reach out to me again, either through Instagram or you can go to my website, easynutritionny.com, and send me an email there and we can talk more and see if and how I can support you in reaching your health goals for 2021.
That is awesome. I'm going to put both your Instagram and website in the show notes and so people Fantastic. Can easily find you and connect with you. Awesome, Bridget. I am going to ask you our final question for today's interview. What is one action listeners can take to be healthier and happier when it comes to their eating habits today?
Such a great question. And I'm going to go, there are a lot of things, but the top one I'm going to go with today is eat 3 colors a day. Focus on eating 3 colors a day for this year, 2021. And I think you will be in great shape toward feeling physically healthy, your energy, your focus, your calmness, and also whatever health goals you do have for the upcoming year, this will absolutely help push you in that direction.
That's awesome. And so it can be fruit or vegetable.
Fruit or vegetable, any produce that you like. So if you're thinking of the greens, we got the Brussels sprouts, we got broccoli, we have zucchini, you have the lettuces, right? Kale, spinach. If you are thinking about the reds, oranges, they kind of go together, but carrots, peppers, red bell peppers, orange bell peppers, sweet potatoes, fantastic. And then strawberries, raspberries, red apples. And then we have the yellows, yellow squash. I mean, there's so many great things.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
The citrus fruits, right? And then the blues and purples, blueberries, eggplant, all the colors, whites too. So cauliflower, regular potatoes, onions, all those colors count, all the produce, all the fruit, just aim for 3 a day.
And when you say it's a whole food, so you know, you said potato. So I immediately, of course, we've said fry a bunch. Would fry fall into that category? Or are you talking more excellent. About whole?
Amy, excellent, excellent question. No, fried foods don't count towards your colors.
Okay,
fried foods, have whatever fried foods you want. Those count as your treats. No fried foods count towards your 3 colors of the day. So, and again, that would be like fried Brussels sprouts. Those don't count as your green.
Okay. But mashed potatoes would.
Mashed potatoes would. Baked potatoes also.
Excellent. Great. Good. So easy and digestible. And I think that we can all explore, right? Like,
yeah,
what
I love
the
that pun.
What's there?
Yeah. Digestible. Yes. You're punny.
That's for you. So punny. Bridget, thank you so much for joining me. I loved our conversation and I'm excited to try some colors.
Absolutely. See what's out there. Thank you so much for having me. I love chatting with you and connecting with your audience. And I look forward to next time.
Bridget reminds us to focus on the abundance in our diets versus the lack, because all of the foods we eat nourish us in different ways. Bridget also reminds us that everyone is unique and different and needs a plan to fit their life. So when it comes to our diets, we need to be compassionate to ourselves and do what works for our health and wellness. If you took nothing else from this episode, Bridget reminds us to stay hydrated, to eat more veggies, and to get fresh air every day. So let's all start drinking more water. Let's start to eat more veggies and start with at least 3 colors a day. And let's get more fresh air in our days, even if it's 5 minutes outside on a quick walk. I'm gonna run and get some fresh air now. I'll catch you guys on the next episode. Let's go.